Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. If I have a little bit of a sour face, my medicine I've been taking is kind of making me a little sick. And it's hard to do with just one hand. If you have to do it, it's difficult to do things. There's one thing different about mine and Joe's message. Mine has a different title. My title is God is Love. So I hope you have all your bookmarks to your passages, because we're going to be going to the same one. So if you would, turn with me to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. But, you know, God evidently has been pleased to let us hear this twice. So it must be needful. I know it is for me. And I'm just going to read verse 8 for now. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now I'm going to ask the question, what is love? We're not going to know love by coming up with what we think is love and defining who God is. Because it says, God is love. I want to speak about God's love today, but in doing this, I'm going to have to talk about hate as well. Because of who God is, it necessitates, if you will, that God hates. Now, I found nowhere in Scripture that it says God is hate. But it is evident in Scripture that God does hate. God hates both mankind himself and that which mankind does. God hates. But love is God because God is love. In my mind, I've been stuck on all these passages lately where it says God is. I preached a couple of messages basically on that. But just as Paul said to the Philippians, and just as we're hearing two messages on some of the same text, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. Amen. That is irksome or slothful. But for you it is safe, for that is secure or certain. So for us to say things we have said before is a safe thing to do. And it's not grievous or irksome at all. But rather it is comforting to think on these things over and over again. Amen. But in looking at this verse, in this chapter, we see in verse 7 that if we love one another, it will be with the love which is of God. Yes. Talking about brethren, those who confess Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now, we know this speaks of much more than just him coming to be born of a virgin, which is absolutely true. Yes. But this is talking about him being that one promised seed, the Messiah. Those who confess this is born of God, it says. Knowing who God is will let us know what and, yes, who God hates. So let's look at some scripture that tell us who God is, what and who does he hate, where does that leave man, the manifestation of God's love. Psalm 99:9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. This word for holy is derived from a word that means clean. But not just clean, because this word means sacred, or that is, God is holy, means he is set apart by himself, for himself, and absolutely clean, with there being no one and no thing clean and set apart as he is. There is no one or no thing to compare to him. Him being holy means everything about him is totally set apart from anything else or anyone else. So when we read in Scripture, Psalms 11:7, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth both behold the upright." The Lord is righteous. That means that He does what He is. He does all things right.
Yes.
God has given man His law, and His law is, in Romans 7:12 we read, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." The law God has given to man, that is a law that is holy and it is right and good. The God who has given this law has fulfilled His law.
Amen.
He is the only one to do so.
Yeah.
God is the self-existent one, meaning there is no one or no thing that caused Him to come into being. That's kind of hard to think, being a human being, to even understand that. But God has never asked for input or had counsel from anyone for anything He has ever done. Everything He has ever done has been absolutely righteous because He is righteous.
Yes, sir.
Since He is righteous and He is justly righteous, meaning there are no unjust weights and balances used by God to make Him right or say He is right, He just is right because of who He is. Because of this, He cannot love anything that is not anything other than this. He cannot love. In fact, because God is love and God is righteous, then His love is a part of His righteousness. And He cannot love anything but righteousness. And the righteousness I am talking about, and the righteousness the Scripture is talking about, it would be His righteousness and not what kind of righteousness man or any other being would try to come up with. He can love nothing but what He is, which is holiness. So no holiness that man may think to be holy is allowed in. No unrighteousness is allowed in. Because of who God is in all His attributes, and I have just named a couple here. This is in no way all of God's attributes and who God is. But this we know, He is holy and He is righteous. And He is love that we have heard so far. So since God is these things, what and who does God hate? God hates anything or anyone who is not holy as He is. He certainly hates the works of the wicked. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." God is too holy to look upon sin. Sin, which is a capital offense against God because there is no other. But sin must be dealt with. God is not going to just forget about it. Sins must be dealt with, and they must be dealt with by death. The wages of sin is death. This is God's pronouncement, and God is righteous and says and does all things right. Sin is punishable by death. So God does hate all evil things, but evil doings, that is sinful, unholy, ungodly doings, are doing by those who are unholy and unrighteous as who they are. Man sins because he is a sinner. He is not a sinner because he sins. So the sins which are committed because the ones committing those sins are sin itself. So who is it that God hates? Psalms 5:5, and I have several of these here I'll read to you. Psalms 5:5. "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." Not works of iniquity, but all workers of iniquity. "The Lord prieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Psalm 26:5. "I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked." Psalm 101:3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me."
Amen.
Psalm 139:21-22, we read, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." I read all of these things, and yet I know that there is that part of me that drinketh up iniquity like water. I have to ask myself, do I fear God? One more thing here in Scripture where it tells us what God hates. God tells us in His Word, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So where does that leave man? Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Amen.
So who is it that is ungodly and unrighteous? And in being what they are, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 3:9 says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, and there are only Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. How many of mankind born of Adam are righteous? Not one. How many of mankind born of Adam are godly? Not one. How many of mankind born of Adam are holy? Not one. How many of mankind born of Adam love God? Not one. But we can speak all day about we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But let's bring this down a little closer to home. I am unrighteous and ungodly as I am born in Adam. I in my heart being given the truth of God at one point in time in my unregenerate state and still even today in this flesh say to God, I will not have this man reign over me. I devise ways that are right in mine own eyes with this flesh. This is all men by nature. That is what we do. That is what I do. We read in our passage of our text a lot about us loving the brethren. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?
Amen.
Does loving our brother show us the love of God? Do I always love my brother? I'm not trying to minimize loving the brethren, but what is it that manifests the love of God? We read in Ephesians 1, if you'll turn with me there. Ephesians 1, we were just there earlier. And I'm going to read 3 through 7. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Amen.
So in verse 4, we have read here in Ephesians, says, to us according as he has chosen us in him. In him who? In Jesus Christ, verse 3 tells us.
Amen.
How has he chosen us in him? We were chosen in him as the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
It says that according to God's will, we have been made accepted in the Beloved.
Amen.
Again, Jesus Christ. What do we have? The forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
But it's not just a overlooking sin that God is doing it through his blood. God is doing it through his blood. What does that tell us? Jesus Christ had to die. If he shed blood, and he did, then he had to die the death that we should have died. If we are to be accepted of God, that is accepted as holy, righteous, it will be because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. So where can I find God's love? In whom can I find God's love? Where is the love of God manifested? Now, if we'll go back to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
So if there is a difference between some fallen sons and daughters of Adam, it will not be of themselves.
That's right.
It will be of God that has done for them what is needed in love.
Amen.
But choosing us does not take away our sin, and sin must be dealt with.
That's right.
If we want to see love in action, if you will, then you will see it in what Christ has done, or you will not see love at all. If you do not see this, that is, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, then your love is perverted, because the love of God is manifested there.
Yes.
This is where we see the love of God and what he sent the Son to do in our stead. Those whom he chose in his Son and his death is how they are to be holy and without blame before him in love. Those for whom he sent his Son to do this are those whom he is pleased to call out of darkness for his namesake. These are not the children of the flesh. Who are the children of flesh? All of us. All those born in Adam. We are all from the same lump. But God's people are those who have been promised to Jesus Christ the Son, whom he has come down to be a propitiation of their sins. Jesus Christ came down for those who God the Father promised he would give to the Son, and he was the atonement, that atoning sacrifice for their sin. He was the expiator, that is, he made amends for their sins. Romans 9:8 says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you are born from Adam, it in no way places you in Christ. It is simply the love of the Father for the Son and him promising to give a people for his name. In these verses in Romans 9, we see again love and hate. The children of the flesh and the children of promise. Verses 11 through 13 in Romans 9 says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Those he hated were totally and are totally opposed to who he is. We have no right whatsoever to question God, the Creator. All of us come from the same lump, but this merciful God was pleased that for some he would afore prepare them to glory, making them a vessel unto honor. Others he left to themselves, they who are fitted to destruction. They are the perfect vessel for being destroyed. They are ungodly, they are unrighteous, and they will not and cannot submit themselves to the righteousness of God. Romans 9:20-21 we read, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? We know that man does not have a free will. Free will is a live man, because he will not have this man reign over him. But even if he could will or even if a man could do what God requires, it is not of him, the Scripture says. Romans 9:16 says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is of God that showeth mercy. So all of man's attempts to get to God, he laughs at. I know about this kind of attitude. I'm not preaching this to say how bad you are. I cannot put this sin off on others, as I know I've done and said many of these things before. Until it was his will, his doing, which changed my mind to where I did not want this man to reign over me. Changed my mind from that. Him doing this all based on what Jesus Christ the Son did on that tree for his people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is that simplicity that is in Christ, that singleness. There is only one thing involved in the salvation of a sinner, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is God who, because of what he has done and what he does, that we are ever to love God and in turn love the brethren. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is holy and righteous, and anything and anyone that does not measure up to this holiness and righteousness, God hates. Man, as he is born, is full of unholiness and unrighteousness. So there is nothing about this flesh that God loves. There is nothing that man can do about this in and of himself. His love, that is God's love, is centered on or focused on God the Son, Jesus Christ. For it is he that is faithful to do the will of the Father. His love is manifested in Jesus Christ working out salvation for a people. If he had not done this, then all of mankind would have been consumed long ago. But it was not the pleasure of God to do so. This is how he can be just and justify them that believe on him. This sinner, the time when I outright rejected the God of Scripture and said, I will not have this man reign over me. Jesus Christ died for that sin back then, before I was ever born. He died for every sin that I will commit until I lay this body down. He was punished, that is, forsaken of God the Father who turned his back on the Son. This he done in my stead. He done for all those who he chose in his Son. He was pleased to make some vessels unto honor and some to dishonor, and that is just the way it is. Had God not loved us, we would never have loved him. If we love him. The only reason we love God is because he first loved us. Had he not, we would have went on in darkness, hating God and not looking for him and not knowing him. Now I've said this book of John talks quite a bit about loving the brethren. Do we see the love of God by loving the brethren? In 1 John 4:20 it says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The deeds I do towards my brother in Christ, have they always been in love? If we are honest, we have to say no. Are we going to say we love God when we don't even want to be with our brethren on this earth who follow and worship the God of heaven and earth, that same God that we say we love? This brings things close to home because I do not always love the brethren. I've committed sin in hating my brother while my lips, I try to convince myself and others that I am loving God. God help me to love the brethren as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Yes, sir. The scripture is clear that there is not one human being that is born of Adam that has ever loved God on their own. Man is complete darkness, and he does not come to the light because his deeds will be reproved. So we need help somewhere from without ourselves before we can ever love God. If we love the brethren, then it is not by loving the brethren that we know the love of God. It is by knowing love, who is God, and the manifestation of that love that we can truly love one another. If we don't, we are liars if we say we love God, because true love is of God. If we love God, and therefore the brethren, it is only because he first loved us. In closing, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us again to come here to gather and hear words of your Son, hear words of the manifestation of your love, dear Lord. May it always, by your power, be kept close to our hearts. Be with anyone out there that may be struggling, dear Lord. Comfort them with these words as well. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Alas, and did my Savior